Now we'd like to talk about what this moment means in the life of the Obama presidency.
It's important for us to pause for a moment and make sure that we're talking with each other in a way that heals, not in a way that wounds.
In Tucson, the president offered remembrances for the six people killed in that Saturday shooting spree at that meet and greet hosted by Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. In particular, he remembered 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green, who'd just been elected to student council and had been invited to the event by a neighbor who thought she would find it interesting.
She saw all this through the eyes of a child, undimmed by the cynicism or vitriol that we adults all too often just take for granted. I want to live up to her expectations. I want our democracy to be as good as Christina imagined it.
So now we'd like to ask if the president's speech did what he said words should do, which is move toward healing and not hurt. And we'll also ask how past presidents have tried to help the nation face traumatic events. We've called upon two people who know what it's like to try to find words to speak of the unspeakable. Mary Kate Carey, who joins us on most weeks to talk politics, wrote speeches for President George H.W. Bush, Bush 41. She's now a blogger and columnist for U.S. News and World Report. Paul Orzelak wrote for President Bill Clinton, among other leading public figures. He's a founding partner of West Wing Writers. That's a speech writing and consulting and strategy firm in Washington, D.C. They're both here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. And I'll say I recognize that Daniel Hernandez is a hard act to follow. So, you know, I apologize for that. And I'd like to ask you each, what is the president's job at a time like this? I mean, on the one hand, you could see where he feels he has to go. But there are those who would argue, well, what can you do here? You know, you're not a doctor. You can't offer first aid. You don't live there. So, Paul, what is a president's job at a time like this?
Well, at a time like this, a president becomes our voice. He's a comforter. He honors the victims. But in some circumstances, it's also an opportunity to start a different conversation, to appeal to the best of us beyond whatever tragedy happened. And, you know, listening to Daniel Hernandez earlier and the way President Obama spoke last night about Christina Green, realized that a 20-year-old and a 9-year-old really, really fulfilled that hope and that aspiration last night. And, you know, for Daniel Hernandez to, in a week ago, be a student and an intern and to stand in front of 20,000 people last night without notes and to be as eloquent as he was this morning, it just reminds you of, you know, how much goodness and how much talent there is in this country. And it always seems to be – we always seem to be reminded of that during times of tragedy. But – you know, beyond the political rhetoric and whatever we happen to hear at the worst of times, opportunities like last night are chances to appeal to what really unites us and what brings us together. And I think the president did a really nice job of that. And he did it in a way that brought the moment back to why everyone was there, which are the victims. He personalized, he told their stories about them so we felt as though we knew them, and really reminded us what it was about. And I think he did a wonderful job of not only comforting but really reminding us all about sort of the truths that we share at a time when there are an awful lot of things that remind us what we don't share.
Mary Kate, talk about that, if you would, again, about the challenge, though, because the fact is this tragedy has already taken on sort of political overtones in a way that I think is surprising and, you know, possibly disturbing, you know, to some people because, you know, partly because the victim, the target was a political person herself. So I'd like to talk to you about how the president kind of navigated that difficult terrain. And we're going to take a short break in just a minute, but we'll come right back to you after the break.
In general, what you do as a speechwriter in a situation like this is to start with the mourning and move to the meaning. And the gold standard for that was the Gettysburg Address, where Lincoln started by saying, "These men did not die in vain," and then ended with, "The government by the people for the people shall not perish from the face of the earth." And President Obama referenced that line at the beginning of the speech last night. And he did the same sort of structure. He talked about how these people did not die in vain and then talked about the larger meaning for our government and for what goes on the face of the earth.
Is there a challenge in talking about just how much you even acknowledge what some of the other conversations are that are going around? Yes, because he did make some reference to civil discourse, but I'm just wondering, how do you navigate that?
He had a very delicate line to walk, and he did it beautifully. And a lot of the reason he could do it is because he set up the first half of the speech with stories. and the stories were very powerful, and it put all of us on the side of the heroes. We were rooting for those people, and that united us as he went into the second half of the speech.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, talking about it is nowhere near living it. So I do want to emphasize that, you know, we do understand that experiencing something as traumatic as that is comes first. But just is it scary when you are put in the position of trying to help the president find words to meet an occasion like that? I'm just wondering what's going through the minds of the people who are tasked with helping him find those words briefly, and then we'll take our break.
I think, yeah, there's always a danger you're going to step in something unforeseen. Another problem, too, is sort of the research aspect of it. You weren't there. You don't know. And what if the president says something and the researcher says, oh, I didn't put that in there, or he never said that, or the person holds a press conference, and oh, that would just be a nightmare.
Mary Kate Kerr is a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. Paul Orzelak is a former speechwriter for President Clinton and also Vice President Gore. They're going to stay with us. We're going to hear a few more minutes from them and talk about their own former bosses handled such key moments of their presidencies. That's coming up. Please stay with us on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, we'll hear about a provocative new book that argues that pressuring your kids to achieve is good for them, even if it requires some steps that others might consider extreme. And then we'll have a special moms conversation where we'll hear what our panel of moms has to say about all that. The book is called The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and the author will be here in just a few minutes. But first, a few more minutes with two people who know what it's like to try to help a president find words for situations for which there really are no words. They are speechwriters. Mary Kate Carey wrote speeches for President George H.W. Bush. She's now a blogger and columnist for U.S. News and World Report. Paul Orzelak wrote for President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, among other top public figures. He's a founding partner of West Wing Writers. You know, before we took our break, Mary Kate was saying that the Gettysburg Address is kind of the gold standard for how to address just a traumatic national situation. And Paul, do you have another example of that speechwriters like you look to?
Yeah, well, in the modern era, I think every president has unfortunately had the moment to address a national tragedy. And the three recent remarks that come to mind, of course, President Reagan after the Challenger disaster, which was a four-minute speech, and President Clinton after Oklahoma City, which really united a nation really in mourning at that time.
Hold on a second. I'll just play a short clip of that. I think we do have that clip so people can, you know, remember that moment. Here it is.
Those who trouble their own house will inherit the wind. Justice will prevail.
I'm sorry it was so brief, but yes. But tell us, what was the president trying to
the remarks.
Well, thank you. What was he trying to accomplish there?
Well, it was a moment similar to this where there was a lot of discussion about, you know, the different forces within our country that were, you know, denigrating either our government or our public life. And the president took the moment not only to honor the victims who lost their lives that day, but also to sort of remind us of our common humanity and the truths that we all share, the things that we all have in common. And it allowed us to start a different conversation after that, at least for a time being, that really sort of rooted the nation looking forward on where we went from that moment rather than backward on the tragedy that had happened. And I think the president managed to do that in a similar way last night. One other thought about gold standards, you know, President Bush, after September 11th, has never been more eloquent, and his remarks were exactly what the nation needed at the moment. But I mean, given that Martin Luther King Day we celebrate next week, I always think back to the unscripted remarks that Robert Kennedy made the night that Dr. King was assassinated, when he was scheduled to speak to an audience in Indianapolis who hadn't heard the news. And he got up and gave what is remarkable for its eloquence and what, you know, he did something that nobody else managed to do, which is to keep a city peaceful the next day.
I have that, actually.
Oh, you do?
We can actually play that for you if you'd like to hear it, just to remind people of, here it is.
Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand, compassion, and love.
You know, similarly, Mary-Kate, your former boss, in the days after the Los Angeles riots, in the wake of the Rodney King verdict, also, mm-hmm. you know, faced a similar, it's not quite the same thing, but a very sort of similar
right.
kind of tinderbox situation. It was already a tinderbox.
Right.
And, you know, so these were some of his remarks. I'll just play those for you, too.
The violence will end. Justice will be served. Hope will return.
What made that
speech interesting? One thing in common with Robert Kennedy and Obama is that both of them apparently wrote their own remarks. The story from last night was that there was not very much involvement from the speechwriting team, and it was almost all Obama. And that's pretty unusual, except for Bobby Kennedy. For President H.W. Bush, the thing that made it common last night, if you look back through the Gettysburg Address, Oklahoma City, 9/11, Virginia Tech, all of those speeches by the presidents did not tell the stories. Only the Challenger one even named the astronauts but didn't tell their stories. And I think part of it was there was just too many victims. You couldn't start. In H.W. Bush, he did tell a story, which was very powerful, just like last night, of Reginald Denny, the guy who got dragged out and beaten up. Good Samaritans came in and said, "We'll be your eyes," and they drove him to the hospital. And that did the same thing. We all united behind the Good Samaritans in a very contentious situation, and it worked beautifully.
And final thought, Paul, I gave you the first word, so I'm going to give Mary-Kate the last word. Paul talked about the need to move the conversation in a certain direction. Do you think that we're going to get there? That there's still a lot of kind of partisan back and forth about who's responsible and whether it's fair to criticize. Do you think that President Obama has taken a step toward moving a conversation in a perhaps more productive direction?
I absolutely do. And we talked earlier this week with Cynthia. Cynthia was a little more skeptical that anything was going to change. I think after last night, things have changed. It was a very subtle message to both sides saying, tone it down.
Mary-Kate Carey wrote speeches for President George H.W. Bush. She's now a columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. Paul Orzelak wrote for President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, among other top public figures. He's a founding partner of West Wing Writers. That's a speech writing and consulting and strategy firm. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Great to be here.